CliffCentral.com.
Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Mabali Malloy, what's going on?
Yeah, it's all good. It's Wednesday.
It is, eh? Hump day. Do people still talk about hump day? Is that still a thing?
Not people that I socialize with, no.
You remember like people, I don't know, maybe it's just me and I'm getting old, which is a revelation to you, I know. But it's like hump day, puzzle Thursday, Fridays, mini Fridays. Just people get so busy nowadays that it's like you just brace yourself till Friday.
You just don't have time to be saying things like hump day anymore. That's how busy people are.
Right, so it is Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening on the podcast, I'm glad you could be here. In the age of podcasts, which is obviously very, very interactive, if you're listening live, it gets even more interactive because you can chat to us. Now, Gareth, I'm not sure where Gareth is actually. He's in Austin somewhere. I wanted to chat to him this morning because there's a good chance that he might miss his flight back to South Africa.
Oh, where's that?
Have you seen the snowstorms around New York right now?
Oh, dear.
Absolutely crazy. It's been one of the worst snowstorms all winter there. So I just wanted to confirm with him, you know, because we don't know what really goes on in Gareth's life. I know he's at South by Southwest and he's putting great stuff on his Instagram feed. Mm-hmm. But for all know, he could be a spy, Mubs. Have we ever actually really followed this through?
Well, no, we haven't.
Because
we've
like,
never really been given reason to suspect that he is a spy.
Well, he says he's going to chat to us every day. I mean, he's chatted to us once while he's been away. Not that I'm complaining. Gareth's entitled to do whatever he wants. And a lot of the time, I think he needs a bit of a break. But, you know, where's he now?
Yeah, I see the storm that you're talking about. Firstly, her name is Stella. Because, you know, you've got to name these storms.
Of course.
I mean, it's affected parts of D.C., parts of northern Pennsylvania. I think Sia was saying yesterday that New York was also affected. So she's moved either from west to east or east to west. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think she's just everywhere. She's kind of like that dog who gets let out at a children's party, just eating all the cake. It's everywhere.
Mm, mm.
So I think, Avi, if you're listening, you are our normal USA New York correspondent. Mm. Give us a weather check. But I'm pretty sure 2 days at JFK have been like pretty much no-go airport-wise.
A lot of flights have had to be canceled or delayed.
Yeah.
So actually, yeah, Gareth might not make it back home.
Anyway, look at us talking about weather.
Well, you know,
but hey,
that's how you know.
That was interesting weather. It's got to be said. As weather goes, that was out the park. So if you want to chat to us today, WhatsApp line 079-748-2090. If you listen to us live, just leave your name on that so we know who you are. And then if you're listening on podcasts, and if you ever want to get in touch with us, info@cliffcentral.com. We do get quite a few emails. It's not my place to read them out now because Gareth's not here. But always feel free to touch in with the show. If you like what we do, you don't like what we do, people you want to have on the show, people you want less on the show, like Sia. I know you want less of him, but he's not here today.
He's not here today and he's not here tomorrow. He's in Cape Town.
Yeah. We've got a special contributing guest today at 7 for the second hour. He'll be coming in. Well, he's here already because he's a practical person who likes to miss traffic. It's very good. So, Mavs, yesterday, you know, this whole, I've got to start with this because I don't want to clog the sport with it. That whole Durban 2022 thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the honorable, famous, twilibbed, pretty, trending, lit, woke minister of sport. I think that's his full title. I mean, again, I just can't keep up with it. But he issued a statement yesterday. He had a press conference.
Okay.
And he basically laid down the moral compass of where South Africa sits towards big international sporting events.
Which is where?
Oh, there is so much to get into here. I mean, I think this incident right here deserves a podcast all in itself. So we're going to give it a bit of a bash this morning to start the show. So Let's just sort of wind back a little bit back to a couple of years ago when it was a joyous moment for everyone because this happened.
We, the Commonwealth Games Federation General Assembly, award the 22nd Commonwealth Games to the South African CGA and the host city of Durban.
So one of the strangest sights you've ever seen, you know, like I think it was back when Cape Town was originally in the running to host the Olympics. Like it was a joyous time back in the days of Madiba Magic and stuff. And back in the days when there was the FIFA announcements, they would announce it, but it would be a bit of a shock. So when people started cheering, there was literal like huge tangible emotion going on there and huge amounts of excitement. Mm-hmm. So what I just played you now was the naming of the host city. Mm. But South Africa was the only city in it, right?
Yes, it was a one-horse race.
So this delegation, they got flown down to Auckland, which I'd imagine is part of this whole 118 million rand, which has gone down the toilet. There is about 30 people here. I mean, the proper renter crowd. And they're all in South African scarves with little flags. And they get up, but it's just them and a whole bunch of empty seats.
But, okay, I don't understand. If there was only one city in the running, then why bother with a formal announcement in this way? It's a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste of money. And it makes everybody involved look stupid.
It does. But you've got to follow protocol. This is the whole thing, right? Yeah, winners. We're all winners. You've got to be in it to win it. Durban 22 has taught us that because we're in it, we won it. Mubs, you've got to follow protocol. But another thing is, okay, now before I get into Vakile Mbalula and what he says and that kind of stuff, you've got to also look at what these federations are like, right? Commonwealth Games. We all know it's a dying thing. I referred to it, you know, the other day as a DVD player. Mm. It's got credentials, but who needs it? So there's no one bidding, right? So why do we have to go through this whole rigmarole? It's like when Emperor Sepp Blatter was running for FIFA president and it was just him. They still went through the entire thing of voting. Mm. So you got one candidate, what are you voting for?
Mm.
it's just stupidity. Mm. But they go through these processes, right? Because also, these guys have got to make money. So they got to tick boxes as far as, okay, this is what a bid will cost. Okay, there's no one else bidding, but you still have to go through this process. So these guys are at fault as well. Big
time. Completely.
Because they're money grabbing. It's institutionalized money grabbing in many ways. Again, I'm no expert on this, but I think I have a fair enough idea is that FIFA, the IOC, these guys, they all seem to be rinsing countries. You know, like in Austin Powers, Dr. Evil would have his board, his table of evil people, and they would all plot around who they're going to hold ransom to in the world because they want $1 million.
Yeah.
I reckon the IOC, FIFA, all these people, they sit around these tables, right? And they go, right, which country can we get money from?
Yes.
It's almost like when you at a political fundraiser and you're thinking, okay, who can we rinse at these booster parties, whatever, to basically pay for our campaign? And straight away, you always look for new money and you always look for third world money because the old money is like, doesn't make any financial sense. These up and coming countries, same with F1. Ever notice how suddenly the European Grand Prix was in Azerbaijan?
Ah, yeah. New money.
New money. I think gas money.
Oh, yeah, sure. Gas money is I stand to be corrected, but I think it's the most highly favored type of money is oil gas money.
You know, I think Bernie and his mates probably did something. I mean, they must have erupted with emotion when like Abu Dhabi came on the books. It's like, oh, these guys, they're going to be in for about 30 years. This is so great.
Yeah.
They can have the finale. Cool. Because it used to be an old European thing, right? An old boys racing club.
Yeah.
The finale of the whole thing takes place in the desert. Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, money talks.
Exactly. So getting back to these guys, okay. So they walked South Africa through the process. They took them all the way through. Cool guys, pay for this, do that. You must go through this whole process. Money wasted. Which brings us to yesterday, okay. So Honorable Minister, screw it, let's just call him Vakile Mbalula. Protocol, that kind of crap, who cares. He had this to say, basically. But let me just wind it back a little bit. He called this press conference as his press conference, right? It's his moment to clear things up because he is the sports minister. Mm. When things don't happen in this country around the issue of sport, it's his issue.
Mm.
Okay. Again, we've got to classify these things because people are not accountable in this country. They run kicking and screaming from anything that could in any way hold them in bad books. So he arrived an hour late for his own press conference.
Okay, standard procedure.
So
a lot of things don't start on time. A lot of things.
Now, I know that I have this curse of punctuality. For some horrible reason, I'm always on time. It's such a curse. It really is.
Listen, yesterday we got reprimanded by a message saying that we didn't start the show on time yesterday.
Yeah, but we were here, though.
I'm just saying, these things happen.
I mean, there's a big difference. But for Kielan Balula, for everything that I've ever seen and been to, he's late. Mm. And he makes it his show, and that's the whole thing. I don't know if that's protocol in government understanding, but it sets a really bad start to something where you're looking for integrity, right?
Yeah.
So the press,
who's looking for integrity there? Who?
Good point. Do they even look for integrity anymore?
No.
So you got an assembled panel of journalists, right? This is a hot topic right now, and you're an hour late to your own briefing.
Yes.
I mean, already on the back foot. So he then goes on to say a lot of things that obviously are the right things to say right now. So I'm just going to play you a little clip of just the bottom line here.
Can make the country bankrupt with Commonwealth Games. Greece is still bankrupt because of Olympics.
Okay, so you can't make the country bankrupt. Fair enough. Good point. Referencing Greece as still being bankrupt. Greece has been bankrupt for years. When you were bidding for this, Greece were bankrupt. This isn't news that came out yesterday, Greece being bankrupt.
Well, wouldn't a better example to have used there been Rio with their last incident?
Exactly, because that would have still, we had hope that Rio was going to do something great, so therefore we can do this. Don't use Greece as a bloody example.
You can imagine, we go bankrupt with Commonwealth Games, you'll be doing every day. You see that Mbalula can't think. And then after Mbalula, you see that Zuma. You don't even have respect to call him president. You see that Zuma. What do you expect? Competing was very cautious. It's not like when we're doing with soccer, where we built stadiums that we did not plan and we've got cost overruns. We've got experience. We can't be duped. We can't be manipulated. We can't be threatened. We know what we want, and it is within our means. And if we can agree on what we can afford, you, the people of South Africa, will be the first to blame us. That you budgeted for 4 billion, now you want 20 billion. Where will that money come from? We've got many challenges. We want the games. The games will benefit us economically, but not at all costs, and ignoring what we can afford. It is regrettable that we could not find each other. But this opportunity, we thank everybody. And we did show our interest. We went back and forth to London. We spent many hours with the Treasury, looking at the costs and all of that. Sleepless nights. You guys were asking questions all the time. And we kept on telling you that wait, we are still negotiating. And this week, they took a decision. And some weeks ago, I told you that it doesn't look good because we can't agree. Unfortunately.
Like I said, you need a whole podcast for this, but let me just break it down again. So he's front and center of this thing, right? Mm. He just said there, we were always trying to negotiate and find out if it's a thing. When we got that thing awarded to us, he was like, this is it. We've done it. We've got the Commonwealth Games. This is us doing great things. There was no negotiation. He was taking every single high five he could in the room, the fact that we managed to get the Commonwealth Games. Now it's like, well, we're always trying to find out if it was going to be viable. So the strange thing about these world events is that if we get the Cricket World Cup, it's not Fikile over there who's getting this deal. It is Cricket South Africa, because it's the governing body of cricket. If we get the Rugby World Cup, it's not Fikile and his pals who are putting these, dotting all the lines. It is SA Rugby, sorry, right? Because they're the governing body. So when it comes to athletics and a thing like the Commonwealth Games, it is SASCOC's ball game. It is their thing. It's not government. All government does is they sit there in the treasury. SASCOC goes to them and says, right, we need this X amount and we need guarantees this is going to happen. Okay. SASCOC, probably one of the most rotten, corrupt governing bodies you can find in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just have to look at these people who are sitting on this table. It is so cringe. I'm not saying it's because I've got a personal vendetta against them. The facts and history don't lie around this one, right? Mm-hmm. SASCOC seemed kind of okay with the fact that they could just take a step back here and let Razzmatazz and the PR roadshow take control of this. So there's no wonder it's a complete and utter disaster, because these guys were in it for all the wrong reasons. Again, it's the hype, it's the PR, it's the spin, it's the look at me, I'm so great. Sascock should have been running this from start to finish. Sascock wanted government guarantees. If they didn't get that, Sascock are the ones that should be saying, look, we can't do this. They're not waiting for government. It's almost like a child versus parent thing here. Government is the parent. Sascock is the child. This was Sascock's homework, okay? This was their thing. They can't wait around and tell the teacher, oh, well, you know, my parents didn't want to do this.
So it sounds to me like between everyone involved, there's been terrible communication, if any at all. And it just sounds like when the ball gets dropped, nobody is prepared to come forward and say, sorry, that was my bad. I caused that mistake. Not Sascock, not the sports ministry, nobody.
And again, this is another situation. This is a failure. You can't tell me that you're going to take this honorable high road here and say we don't want to bankrupt the country. This isn't a surprise. These things cost a shit ton of money. Mm. But when done properly, they can raise a shit ton of money. So you can't just suddenly say, oh, we're doing the right thing for the country. We're not going to bankrupt the country. Okay, but if you did things properly, right, you stand to bring in 11 billion rand. Okay, 11 billion. They were talking here about the fact that we were going to assign 2 billion. They kind of needed 4 or 5. Let's just call it 6, 7 inflation and running costs. You still stand to earn a profit here. The last 4 Commonwealth Games have turned a profit. You can talk about Athens. You can talk about Rio. The Olympics is a much bigger beast. It's much more difficult. Commonwealth Games, slightly easier. It just is. And all the cities prior to this, they've made a profit. So, best practice, go and sit with the previous country that have done this. You know, sitting here around and going, oh, well, this is going to be a mess up. No, actually make something better. This is the whole, my biggest gripe with sport administration and government is that they are so eager to just tick boxes, sit back and say, oh, we tried. This was an opportunity. This was a huge opportunity. Just think of, there was going to be, I think, 2 billion rand essentially going into sport and uplifting lives of young sports people. And I know I'm probably going off on this a little bit too long, but you have to cover this. All this, just to take an example, I read an article yesterday, a very good article, about young boxers. You know how talented our boxers are in this country?
I have no idea.
From Sugar Boy Malinga back in the days, Baby Jake. I mean, we've always had good boxers. This is what it is. It's one of those sports that have sort of bound communities together. It's given people hope. It's given people a chance to redo something. We do not have a single boxer in Rio for the Olympics, not one. You're telling me in a country with a proud boxing heritage and talents everywhere. I mean, Fekile himself brought out Floyd Mayweather here, right?
Yes.
All that money for Floyd Mayweather
to
basically inspire a new generation of boxers. And that resulted in zero boxers at Rio. Again, this is a chance. You could have had the next generation of fantastic boxers, which just goes to show that all Floyd Mayweather thing was just a complete and utter ego trip for him. So now that's gone. So we're getting no new boxers or new anything like that. There's no new facilities going to be built for that. Our swimmers have shown time and time again at the Olympics, despite very little help from Sascock and government, world beaters, right? This is a chance for Durban to get an Olympic-sized swimming pool, great infrastructure, a pool that hopefully stays blue and not green like the one that we were using last time for SA Champs. This is all a massive opportunity that's lost. So they keep focusing on the fact we don't want to bankrupt the country because government, local authorities and stuff, they've got a history of bankrupting things, right? So they think they're doing us a huge favor. But no, they're missing opportunities. All Africa Games, that is something that could also bring money into the economy of Durban. And those facilities, it's not going to be like, I mean, Fekile referenced here the fact that the white elephant stadiums of the World Cup, we're not making the same mistake. Yes, if you plan on being competent. But different game here with the Commonwealth Games. All these facilities can be used over and over and over and over. All these different opportunities for sports people. All this whole thing about transformation and getting development happening in sport. This is one of the catalysts to making these things turn. You know, this is one of the things that can take all the potential in this country, of which there is a huge amount, and finally giving it a chance to run. So talking about bankrupting the country, it just shows how out of touch these guys are with what this country is. It's a country where people need to benefit, a country where jobs need to be created, economy needs to be stimulated. And it's just the small-minded incompetence of people like Fikile Mbalula and the rest of them. It really, as you may have noticed in the last 20 minutes, it really pissed me off.
Yeah, we can hear.
So if you want to, I mean, unfortunately, these things are never going to go away. And it's just another thing in the legacy of failure, which is for Kilimbalu and the rest of them. And Sascock as well, you know, the mismanaging of funds. There is a lot of things that aren't making sense. And, you know, whether you love Graham Joffe or you hate him or you think he's got an agenda or he doesn't, from time to time, he raises really good points that people just aren't investigating. And the media is to blame as well for this. So we can look at this and say, you know, Fikile, good on you. For once, government expenditure has been halted. Great. Government expenditure is not what this is about, though. This is about giving opportunities to South Africans and taking things further. And unfortunately, here's an opportunity that hasn't been used. And it's just so easy to pull out and say, well, screw it. We're not going to do this. The 118 million, of course, will not be recouped. Fikile himself said that, you know, it was never about wasting the money. This 118 million wasted is still, it's a big failure. We didn't say failure, of course, because they'll be accepting failure. He said that they feel bad about the fact that money was wasted. Again, and incidentally with this, he said it does not affect the hosting of the 2023 Rugby World Cup, the potential of that, because the people who are assessing the country are currently in the country assessing the fact that can SA host the Rugby World Cup. The answer is yes, obviously, because we've got the stadiums, we've got the rugby culture, we've got the infrastructure, we've got the track record. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer. If we can't get that, it's a big mission. If we can't get that, it might have got something to do with government guarantees again. Government have to guarantee financially these things can happen.
I'm just glad that I'm not the person who has to run these things and make them happen. Because with all that you said, it does sound like it's a massive headache anyway. And I don't want to be responsible for any of it.
But hey, let's just go back to that moment when we got the 2022 bid. And it was joyous for all 20 people who went there on business class. Big hugs, all a bunch of winners. Right, so, I apologize if you don't give a toss about Durban 2022, but again, you know, it's missed opportunities in this country. It's missed opportunities for things to go better than before. It's missed opportunities for people to do better in their jobs. I think that's what I'm getting at with all of this. Yeah. So, I've got some really cool clips to play for you today. I found this guy on the internet. Now, I know Gareth always goes on about the fact that, you know, we sometimes have quite cynical views in this show, and fair enough, but sometimes the truth is cynical, perhaps, mostly because sometimes we get fed a lot of bullshit. But I found this dude, and, basically he ruins everything. So, a whole bunch of things from engagement rings to tipping waiters, owning a house to why your cat must never go outside. I've got a whole bunch of things I'm going to play for you, from now until Gareth gets back. Really great conversation starters too. Because what this guy does is that he gets a whole bunch of facts and then presents it in like a 4-minute video. It's all based from, I think I found it first on College Humor, which is always a great YouTube channel for comedy and variety of things. So I'm going to play a few of those for you. After all the news, the sport, of course, finance with Anthea, and then our in-studio guest today is going to help us with some news stories. And then one of Gareth's pre-recordings, which we'll get to in the second hour. Right, Mubs, I have talked myself hoarse. Mm. But today's news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. It is obviously a great place for pizzas. But I was thinking as well, how about a great place for first dates? Sometimes you haven't got the most conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've just talked to you to death about the Commonwealth Games.
You have.
But if you haven't got such gems of conversation, what do you talk about? Well, the Colcacchio Pizzeria menu is something in itself because there's vegan stuff on there, right? There's gluten-free. There's all kinds of different topics. So if things ever go south during your date, you can always talk about veganism. You can talk about gluten-freeness. You can talk about all these things because Colcacchio Pizzeria's menu is just so much more than just comprehensive. Mubs, what have we got in the news?
Yeah, and let's hope you know what gluten is to begin with, because exactly. Most people who are apparently allergic to gluten don't even know what it is.
Exactly.
But that is none of my business. Okay, so with regards to the development of the O.R. Tambo International Airport heist a week ago, two arrests were made. This is according to the acting National Police Commissioner, Khumotso Phahlani, who confirmed this to the media yesterday. The announcement was made at a briefing in Pretoria. Several robbers dressed in police uniforms and they drove bogus cop cars. They held up what?
So like a clown car. Doesn't have big wheels and a floppy bonnet.
I mean, it looks like a legitimate police vehicle, but it absolutely is not. So they held up security last week, Tuesday. This is before they made off with 24 bags filled with foreign currency. Phahlani says that two more people were also being questioned in connection with the crime. The two that had been arrested already made an appearance in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court yesterday. Then two other people were questioned, so there might be more arrests that get made. But the Lieutenant General praised police officers for their tireless work on this one. One of the people who was questioned, Ben, is an actual police officer. So, you know, yeah, we were talking about inside jobs.
Exactly.
Either from the airport side with the security guards or from the police side with an actual police officer now being implicated in this robbery.
Yeah, makes sense.
Makes all the sense in the world. At the same time, Phahlani said that four people were arrested in an entirely different investigation. This is with regards to the 14 bodies that were found in Benoni. It relates to that story of, potentially it's about all the illegal mining that happens in different parts of the country.
Ah, and there's illegal mining gangs.
Yes. And so 14 bodies were discovered in Benoni also about a week or so ago. So the police commissioner or acting police commissioner saying there that they also made arrests with regards to that case.
That East Rand, I'll tell you what, it's
man,
not to be messed with. Huh?
That East Jeepers. Rand is scary for all sorts of reasons. I mean, whether it be, you know, because of gangsters, like people like Radovan Kretje and them, or just illegal mining. The East Rand is a dangerous place to be.
There's so much goes on there with crime and jeepers. I mean, if you live in the East Rand and you got some stories, always feel free to tell us.
Absolutely. All right. So the latest regarding the SASSA debacle, because yes, it is still an ongoing situation. According to the executive chairperson of CPS's parent company, this is now Net One, and the executive chairperson's name is Serge Bellamont. He basically said yesterday that if the South African Social Security Agency and Treasury do not agree to a new interim contract with CPS by tomorrow, the social grants distributor may not be able to pay out the beneficiaries by April the 1st, which is when we were promised it would happen. So again, people already preparing us for the worst here.
That promise was hung on to like a slippery piece of soap.
Serge Bellamont was speaking yesterday saying that the company needs at least 12 working days to ensure that it would be all systems go come April the 1st. He added, if you work backwards from the 1st of April, we need to ensure that the process starts 12 days prior to that in order for us to have the money so that we can put it into beneficiaries' bank accounts so they can withdraw it.
Yeah, it's not a magic wand kind of thing here. Huh? This isn't like an Oprah and a gift. This is difficult.
No, the way that he was explaining it, he basically made it sound like, you know, it's a more complicated process than we probably think in our minds. He said that money needed to flow from Treasury first to SASSA, and then from there on it goes from SASSA to a number of banks, including the Reserve Bank, before it actually makes it into the hands of the millions of beneficiaries who need their social grants.
Sure.
He said it's not a simple exercise. And basically, if by tomorrow the processes that are needed to kickstart the whole thing are not in place, essentially he was saying that they simply won't be able to make that April the 1st deadline.
Well, speaking of kickstarting, maybe these people on grants need to start their own Kickstarter campaigns, like pay for me to basically live the twilight of my life, because government doesn't seem to be too keen on it.
Oh dear, what a mess, what a mess. Speaking of a mess, it was exactly that that was made in a discovery in Mexico where 250 skulls were found in clandestine graves.
250 skulls?
250 skulls.
Human, of course.
Human skulls have been found in Mexico's Gulf Coast state of Veracruz in what seems to be a drug cartel mass burial. in the city of Veracruz. According to one state prosecutor, Jorge Winkler, he said that the burial pits appear to contain the victims of drug cartels who were killed several years ago. Apparently, for many years, the drug cartels just made people disappear because, you know, they have the ability to do so.
Yeah, of course.
The problem here is that the authorities were complacent and they never really put any effort into doing something about it. And so in an interview, Winkler revealed that, he didn't reveal specifically where the skulls were found, but there is a victim advocacy group called Colectivo Solecito. And basically, they're the ones that have been pushing for the excavation by authorities because they represent the families of these said 250 victims who were killed.
Jeepers, what a mess.
What a grim discovery. Just 250 skulls in a mass burial site. I mean, that must cause at least one nightmare for one person who was part of that team that made the discovery.
But sorry, let me get this straight. So is it just skulls? There's no skulls, just skulls?
I mean, you know, just with regards to the information that's been revealed, all they're talking about now is just skulls.
Can I just say it is just skulls? This is like... Because it's one thing when you get rid of people, right? Like that's traditionally what's happened in gangsterism. We'll take care of him. But if you're going to go to the point of taking certain parts of the body and grouping it together, again, we don't know the full story here. If it's just skulls, this is well thought out, premeditated, and hugely, hugely evil.
Hugely evil because it means that, essentially it means that, you know, you're having to cut somebody's head off. That's what you're doing. And I just wonder if that happens before you kill them or if that is how you kill them, by chopping their heads off.
Look, it also then narrows down who the perpetrators of his crimes were. I mean, if there's a Mexican beheading gang, prime suspect, or who got skulls, it must be the Mexican beheaders.
Well, you see, part of the problem here is that the authorities in Mexico have been accused of being complacent with these kinds of investigations.
Sorry, I was just getting back to that whole airport heist. Pippa sent a message in now saying, has it been discovered who the money belonged to yet?
Not from any of the information that I can pick up from the news sites.
Also a bit of a sketchy element to that story, huh? This money's gone, but who did it actually belong to?
Who did it belong to and why are we not finding out?
Is this why we don't have the Commonwealth Games? Because the rest of the money was meant to go to them and it got stolen.
I mean, I remember when the news first broke, one of the articles that I read, they mentioned that the money was headed for the UK. But as to where exactly and like who specifically, no, that still has not been revealed.
Okay, well, there we go. Commonwealth Games money, guys. In absence of truth, you make your own truth. This is how we...
You connect your own dots. Careful, we're bordering on distributing fake news here, Ben.
Yeah.
We don't want to be one of those people.
This fake news update was brought to you by us.
Okay, and then the president has sent his well wishes to Ahmed Kathrada, who remains in hospital. On March the 5th, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation said that the ANC struggle veteran was in a stable condition after an operation in a Johannesburg hospital. He was initially taken into the hospital because he was suffering from dehydration. And then doctors discovered that, that there was a blood clot, which they subsequently removed. He's been in hospital ever since. And yesterday, the president, in a statement said that we send good wishes to our liberation struggle stalwart and one of our three surviving Rivonia trialists. We urge the nation to keep him and his family in their thoughts and prayers at this time.
He's 87, huh?
87.
Yeah, this is when the wheels come off for human beings, basically.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
you know,
we just aren't around forever.
I mean, it's exactly these kinds of stories that, you know, just remind you every now and again that, oh, by the way, it's not going to be like this forever. You better make the best of it.
Do you know that he's married to Barbara Hogan?
Really?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Are you sure?
That's his wife, Barbara Hogan.
Huh.
Well, there's something for you.
Yeah, right, Barbara Hogan.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Neither did I.
Well, now we all know.
Yes, it's good to educate people where they did not know something.
Plus ourselves,
obviously. And then it would seem as though Justin Bieber has taken inspiration from Ed Sheeran and his antics. You know, the fact that
Ed Sheeran, what this dude, seriously, he's the best at the moment at everything.
The fact that Ed Sheeran, even with his looks, can score supermodels. So Justin Bieber, who is now currently touring in Australia, reportedly handpicked a dozen models to party with him at a late night cruise after one of his performances. So go ahead, Bieber. Not only Ed Sheeran can bed models, you can too.
Yeah, Biebs, but I hate to break it to you. Unless you're in Taylor Swift's sex ring, what is it then, huh? What is it? It's just numbers in the game.
Is Taylor Swift's sex ring the pinnacle? Is that how these boys know that they've made it?
Yeah, I really think it is. If you can't penetrate that ring, then you're just not in it. You're just not in it to win it. And I mean, look, you're a celebrity. Anyone can phone up a modeling agency and go, look, I need to be seen with 10 really good looking women.
Yeah.
You got to do what Ed Sheeran does.
Or you've just got to hack into Leonardo DiCaprio's phone book. He only has models in his phone book.
Yeah, also true.
That and the number of his agent and manager. That's it. Those are all the people that exist in Leonardo DiCaprio's phone book.
that dude and all his chins.
It's
amazing. I mean, that guy took dad bod to the new level and everyone's like, oh, see, dad bod sexy. No, rich is sexy. Get it right.
No, you. Yeah, you're right. Oh, there's nothing sexy about a dad bod, people. Please don't believe it. Don't fall for it.
But there's something sexy about a yacht in Monaco, I can tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, sure. And Leonardo DiCaprio money. That is sexy. Not the dad bod.
Is that what we got in the headlines so far?
Yeah, I'll have more stories for you after 7.
Brilliant. News today brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Go onto their website, get their app on your lettuce on your app store and enjoy the goodness that is their amazing pizzas. Nate says it's finally raining in Cape Town.
Oh, well, they need it.
Cheapers, that's a good thing. I told you, I'm going there for a weekend in April and I'm really worried that there'll be no water.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not saying this in like a sensationalist sense. I'm actually genuinely worried there's no water. Because it's still hot there, right? And the wind always blows. Wind equals evaporation and all that kind of stuff. Look at us talking about weather again. It's amazing.
Mm.
Right, I'll get some more messages in a bit. But it's time for the sport. And that means it's also time for my sporting theme tune, the retro one. I know you love it. Right, so in sport, of course, the 2022 failed Durban Commonwealth Games bid thing, majiggy, that's still making big news. Yesterday, Fikile Mbalula says the government was not prepared to bankrupt the country by committing to spending money it did not have. It's the first time someone in ANC government has actually used those words, but good on you, Fikile, as long as you're doing something different, I guess. Mbalula went on to say that it will not affect SA's bid to host the Rugby World Cup in 2023, which really should be ours. And no offense to any other country who is trying to get into that, but South African rugby is a big player in the world. Our Springboks might be the 7th best team in the world, Mavs, but when it comes to hosting it, I reckon we're as good as anyone. Really are. 1995, who can forget that? There was a movie made about it. It was a great time for everybody who liked rugby. And it was also a good party, let's be honest. These events are great parties. They get people together, they give them false happiness, and everyone just cheers and shouts. It's wonderful. So I really hope we can get 2023 Rugby World Cup. I know it's a long time away, but hey, it's off to Japan, because Japan's the next one. In other news, Champions League, that happened last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
The impossible basically happened. So Leicester, we know they've gone from bad to worse to absolutely oh what the hell is going on here. They had to fire their manager, Claudio Ranieri, the guy that gave them their first ever Premier League title. And now Shakespeare's running the show. He was the assistant backroom kind of coach guy. And look at that. The turnaround has been amazing. In the Premier League itself, they went from being bottom really close to that relegation zone. They've had a couple of wins. Last night, they beat Sevilla 2-0. This now means they go through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They are still unbeaten at home in the Champions League. This is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. They're out of the FA Cup. They're out of everything in England. But they're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Who else is in the quarterfinals of the Champions League? Not Arsenal.
No,
not Man United.
No.
Not Spurs. Not Liverpool. This is just absolutely amazing. So 2-0 of the night, 3-2 aggregate overall because Sevilla won the first leg 2-1. So amazing moment there for Leicester. And it would be so absolutely amazing if these guys could somehow, and that's not going to happen because, I mean, let's be honest, Sevilla, they're Europa League champions. So I don't think they're ever going to kick on in this league. But good on you, Leicester. Good on you. Juventus, they went through 3-0 on aggregate. They beat Porto 1-0 last night. So tonight, we've got two very interesting matchups in the Champions League. We've got Monaco. They take on Man City in Monaco, where Leonardo DiCaprio has many a yacht, I'm sure. The current aggregate score there is 5-3. Man City, what a thrilling game that last one was. So 5-3 Man City go through there. But Monaco's got 3 away goals. This could become crucial depending on how this game plays out. That match will be at 9:45 South African time tonight. And then we got Atletico versus Bayer Leverkusen. Now, Atletico have got into this one as 4-2 leaders. Also 9:45 tonight, South African time. You've got to think Atletico are going to really just, you know, hammer it home from there. In other football news, local this time, 3 games in a row now without scoring. That is Sundowns. They dropped more points. So it's ever since, this hasn't happened since 2012 that SA's best team and Africa's best team has been this lackluster in front of goals. They drew 0-0 with Polokwane City last night. So all these games they're making up midweek to get back to the top of the table where they belong. They're not capitalizing on it. Not capitalizing on it at all. In FA Cup news, after Chelsea beat Man United, and Man United within they just couldn't behave. Well, the draw for the semi-finals has now been made. Chelsea will take on Spurs, and that'll be a Spurs team essentially without Harry Kane. So Chelsea are going to go through there. And then we've got Arsenal versus Man City. That's your semi-final lineup, and that will take place April 22nd, April 23rd, that weekend there. News of a more sinister nature. Brazilians are absolutely outraged about basically a convicted murderer being allowed back into playing in the leagues there.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a big story around Bruno Fernandes, 2010, basically. Now, Bruno Fernandes was tipped as a future Brazilian goalkeeper for the national team, right?
Uh-huh.
Rio 2014 could have been his big deal. The Brazilian World Cup 2014 could have been a big thing for him. But he ordered the killing of his lover at the time. Now, what makes the story tragic is that we all know that crimes of passion happen in this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
He admitted to playing a role in this. He essentially had guys kidnap her from a hotel and they strangled her.
Mm.
What makes it worse is that her remains were then fed to his dogs.
Oh, wow.
I'm not making this up. And the dude was sentenced to 22 years in jail in 2013 for his role in the kidnapping and killing of Elisa Samudia. But he's out because the courts made a bit of a fuck up around dealing with an appeal, which he's entitled to by the rule of law. So there's no grounds to keep him in there because the appeal wasn't honored. So he somehow is out, and straight away he's been picked up by a club in Brazil, and people are rightly outraged about this.
Ooh,
this isn't just like
that's a tough one.
This isn't like an Oscar Pistorius kind of case where, you know, there's a couple of gray areas. This guy ordered the killing of this woman and her
admitted to it,
and her remains were fed to his dogs. Shape is a gruesome story. Horrible, horrible story. And he's out. I mean, it just shows the legal, you always think that justice will prevail.
Yeah.
And justice will be done and people like that will be kept behind bars, because that's, you've got to be a certain level of absolutely who the hell do you think you are. Talk about moral compass. This guy's that makes you evil. Skulls in the ground evil.
Sadly, this is exactly the kind of story that, you know, allows an argument to hold weight when people say, allow the legal process to run its course. Well, what happens when the legal process lets you down? Because it happens.
Oh, it does indeed. It's pretty horrible. But look, you always go back to another lesson you've learned on the show is don't date sports stars.
Oh, absolutely not. They are a terrible group of individuals.
You know, when I look for you for comment, I really wish you'd show more emotion. I mean, this fence-sitting monotone crap you give me is just
they are
not
to be trusted in any way, shape, or form, sports stars.
Well, also old Scottish men, these sexist old bigoted bastards at Muirfield, right? Remember there was a vote last year and they were like, hell no, we're not getting women in here. Be bloody stupid.
Right.
How very dare you think we're going to have women here in our club? Well, then the RNA said, well, if you're not going to have women members, we're not going to ever have the British Open, the Open Championship at your place. And they were like, ah, oh, fuck.
So they've been backed into a corner.
So these ruddy-faced old guys had now to go back to vote, right? 498 votes in favor of change. 122 still saying, damn you, woman. You will not be at our golf club. So we were the massive minority of 19.8% who are still against women. Women are now able to become members at Muirfield.
Do these women want to be at Muirfield? Well, I mean, do you really want to be hanging around a group of grumpy old men?
Look, if I was a woman, if I was a lady, I would not want to go to Muirfield. Sure, the golf course is absolutely incredible. It's one of the greatest Open Championship venues of all time, if not all majors put together. But you don't hang around these guys. They're going to be so shitty. And I'll tell you what, it's going to smell like old balls in there. You've got old men, and it's always raining in Scotland. It's going to be dreadful. It's going to need a woman's touch in there to sort things out. But this is where the story gets a bit interesting for me, right? Okay, so now, yay, hooray, this is so great. Women equality, all this kind of stuff. But Muirfield have conceded that it will be, although this takes effect right now, it'll probably be around 2 years before you'll actually get a woman member, because the getting accepted as a member process is so long, arduous, archaic.
Yes, yes, yes.
But can you imagine the hoops they're going to make these women jump
through? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
These guys aren't going to change a bit. They're going to be, well, if you want to be a member of my club, you shall do this. And they're going to go, oh, this is ridiculous. They're like, hey, we've accepted women. Don't call us sexist.
Yeah.
It's just that you will have to literally.
It's not our fault that they went through the application process and succeeded.
I reckon they're going to make them pull pints in the bar for 6 months before they let them become members of the club. This isn't going to just become like this magic wand scenario.
Oh, boy.
Finally, in Test cricket, on this day 140 years ago, the first ever Test match was played. It was played between England and Australia. Obviously, England lost that game. And, of course, they just completely collapsed in the batting order as well. That was the first time they had a batting collapse in the very first time out. Australia won by 45 runs. Charles Bannerman got 165. And then he retired hurt or just bored. One of those games. This week, of course, is big Test cricket. No Trent Bolt, no Ross Taylor for New Zealand. That will kick off tonight. Night at 11:30, 15th of March, SA versus New Zealand. And then tomorrow, on what looks like an absolute disaster of a pitch, Australia will be taking on India again. Joe, long sport today. We've got time for Anthea. Here she is, Lucas. Thumbs up from Lucas. That is the first process of getting Anthea online. The next process is me doing this.
No,
again.
Not that.
Okay. First process from Lucas, thumbs up. Next process, Anthea's song. Second process, third process, engage microphone levels. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Ben.
Oh, you're very soft. Why are you so soft? Okay, try again. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning again, Ben.
Well, we eventually got you on. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. You found the right microphone levels, have you?
Yeah, it was just very soft. This thing's got a mind of its own. I mean, I often get blamed for messing around in this thing, but not every day is the same thing. Right, what's going on in the finance?
So yesterday we started the day positive, but then pretty much slipped into negative territory. We lost about 0.5% on the market. And this is despite the rand trading slightly weaker. It closed at 13.18 against the dollar yesterday. I mean, It was a bit disappointing considering we had some decent economic data coming out of China yesterday morning. Their industrial production increased by 6.3% year on year, which is a really good number. And it initially did drive commodity prices higher, but then crude oil was probably the biggest or the main protagonist yesterday. It really fell. I mean, and this crude oil actually has been coming off quite a bit in the last week and a half. I think it's down about 10% already. You know, Brent crude was trading $56 a barrel. It's now trading around $51. And there are a couple of things driving the oil price. Firstly, last week, the API put out their inventory numbers and showed that it grew by 8.2 million barrels. And then yesterday, Saudi said that it will cut production by a third less than it had previously thought. So you know, last year, the OPEC countries, and in fact non-OPEC countries, decided that they were going to cut production, and everybody agreed. It was like the first time in history that even the non-OPEC countries had agreed to a production cut. But then yesterday, I mean, so with Saudi cutting less than they said they were going. They're now at about 10 million or just over 10 million barrels per day. And then another thing happened. The OPEC report yesterday showed that the January reserves rose, and this shouldn't have been because of last year's cut. So basically, it's not great for the global reflation trade because you know the US and Europe are looking for inflation. But for us, it's actually fantastic because it means we might get a petrol price cut next month.
Oh, that's great.
Exactly, especially after Pravin Gordhan raised the fuel levy in the budget speech. So that would be really nice, I think, for us anyway, but not for global markets, not for reflation.
All right.
And then globally still, Theresa May making a lot of noise yesterday about the possibility that she will trigger Article 50 in the coming days, she said. So there was a lot of speculation that she would only trigger Article 50 at the end of March. So a lot of trade in the pound yesterday. And then, of course, in addition to that, now suddenly people are talking about the possibility of Scotland having a second independence referendum. I think that will just be a lot of noise. I mean, there are a couple of things. Like, firstly, Scotland has to ask permission for another referendum from London. I think London Parliament will give it to them, will give them permission. But even then, like, they don't automatically get entry into the EU. So they'll have to apply. And actually, Scotland does 4 times more trade with the UK than they do with the EU. So this is something they have to consider carefully. So, yeah, I think there'll be a lot of noise about the Scotland second referendum in the coming weeks. But it's not an obvious trade.
I just this whole Brexit thing, Article 50, all that kind of stuff. I mean, enough. Just carry on. Get on with it now.
I love the way you make it sound like it's so simplistic. But there's like hundreds, I think even thousands of pages of trade agreements to unwind.
Sure.
So it's not like they can say, okay, right, we're done with you.
Yeah, look, I mean, Anthea, I know there's not a light switch that says Brexit on the top of it and someone just flicks it. But this whole talking about triggering article, I mean, come on. You're either going to do it or you're not.
I do see your point. I think Theresa May is waiting for a plan that will make it look like it's quite nice and easy and they're going to do it smoothly. And, you know, that's what it is. Anyway, we'll forget about that.
It's a Band-Aid. And unfortunately, underneath the Band-Aid is a wound. But that wound needs to be dealt with.
Okay. And then back home, Celsi reported what looked like a very strong set of numbers. Revenue was up 11%. EBITDA was up 59%. And you know the share is not listed, so Celsi itself is not actually listed, so we couldn't see how investors. But there are a couple of things that we are still very, very wary of with Celsi.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago by the ratings agency, so everyone was joking that it's now sold D because they got a D rating.
The D.
Yeah. And then, you know, Blue Telecom are buying, I think, 45% stake in the company. So they're injecting 5.5 billion rand into it.
Wow.
I mean, it's it's good that the Blue label finally being confirmed. We're still worried about whether or not Blue can. And there's a lot of talk.
Sorry, Anthea, we seem to be getting every third word of you all of a sudden.
Oh, dear. Can you hear me now?
No, no. What did you call my belly?
Yeah, Anthea, I thought you and I were okay. I thought we were good.
I'm sorry. I thought you couldn't hear me.
Exactly. You start mouthing off like that. I dare you. Sorry, you're saying Blue Label Telecom putting 5.5 billion or something into Celsi?
That's right. And so that'll help their cash flow. They did spend on capital expenditure 4.3 billion. And in the last year. So they're going to need that 5.5 billion rand. And then, Ben, yesterday somebody was asking us about Africa. And so I went to have a look at the share price because I don't know if you remember.
African Phoenix, right?
African Phoenix, yes. You were asked about it. And this is the old African bank shares that were delisted when they went into curatorship 3 years ago now. And so at the time, the last traded price was 31. In February.
Sorry, we have to pick this up tomorrow because we literally are just losing you after every sort of fourth word. So we need to pick up African Phoenix tomorrow. We've also got two questions here, which I'm going to screenshot. There's always questions for you. But unfortunately, this line is just kicking out. I mean, we hang on your every word. So you take away one word from a sentence and it's screwed. Mm. We are just screwed.
Mm-hmm. You're left hanging. All right.
Okay.
We'll speak tomorrow.
Okay. So we'll catch you tomorrow. The messages, Stephen and the other message we'll get to tomorrow. I promise. Just that we got a bit of a bad line this morning. I do apologize. That is the finest with Anthea. That is the sport with me. The news with Mubs all taken care of. Lucas will now get hard to work in producing this podcast for you. Second hour, we've got, a special guest joining us for all new stories plus a special guest on Skype, Mubs.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, we always play Anthea's song, Donna Summer, She Works Hard for the Money.
Well, yes.
I never want people to think that Donna Summer is a one-hit wonder. So, to play us out, I am going to prove this by, playing one of Donna Summer's other great tracks. Remember this?
Hot stuff.
Really, really great track. Cool. Catch back after this. Lots of news, lots of interesting stories, and new voices. CliffCentral.com.